The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guests in the studio, we have two of them. They happen to be, and I wrote them down so I don't forget, Don Rogers and Todd Kramer. They're with, one's with the Bad Axe, the other's with the Pigeon Rotary Club. And we've also got on the phone, illusionist Harris III, who's going to be performing in the area. He's going to be doing some assemblies for kids in the schools, and he's going to be doing a nighttime performance next week. And we're going to be talking about how this came about, and also the performances, and how he works in teaching people about how not to be deceived into his illusions. Thanks for being with us, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us, Craig.
Good to be here.
Harris, how did you get started in this? I mean, it seems like an untypical road for a magician to try and tell people not to be deceived.
Yeah, well, that part kind of came in a lot later, but you know, it started for me when I was 9 years old. I was obsessed with baseball, and I grew up in a small town with a poor family, and I'd never had a baseball glove of my own, and so that's what I asked for Christmas that year. And I saw a box under the tree. It was the perfect size to hold a baseball glove, and I opened it up, and it was a magic set, you know, this little old box of magic tricks. And I thought it was dumb until I performed my first trick for my mom and dad, and they were completely blown away and were like, how in the world did you do that? And so I was hooked from that moment. You know, then I spent 10 to 12 years working on my craft and performing anywhere I could and doing about 1,000 shows. And when I was 21, I went through a series of life-changing experiences where I realized how I was deceived, and I recognized that the same way I was deceived is the same way I deceive people on stage with a magic trick. And I thought, man, this is the perfect lesson to teach people how it is that they're tricked into believing stuff that just isn't true.
And has your magic grown in scale as you've gotten further and further into your career? I mean, imagine you started off with a little magic set, which was probably little plastic pieces, and now you're into full stage production?
Yeah. You know, obviously, the larger the illusion gets, a lot of times the more risk is required, the more difficulty, and the harder it is to tour around the world with, because it's a larger prop, which requires a bigger crew, and so it all kind of gets more complicated. You know, I remember the hardest thing I've ever done is I recently recreated Houdini's water torture cell for a filming that we did, and we're considering touring it, but you know, it's basically a tank full of, you know, 2,000 pounds of water. I think it's like 80, 85 gallons or something like that. But between the tank and after I jump into it, it just weighs so much and so much work to produce. But on top of that, I have to hold my breath for 3 to 4 minutes, and that took me about 6 months of practice and training. And to top it off, I wanted to do it in a way that Houdini had never done it before, even himself. And so I did it in a straitjacket, and I'd done a straitjacket escape for years, but it turned out to not be my most brilliant idea. It was incredibly difficult. As soon as you jump in the water, the canvas isn't exactly a material that, you know, gets along well with water. It's kind of like trying to take off a pair of wet jeans. So that was incredibly complicated, definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. And I can't imagine me doing that when I was 9 or, you know, even 15 or 16 years old.
No, your parents would have told you, don't.
Yeah. Even at 20 or 21, I can't imagine doing that. I don't think I could have done it any moment sooner than I did. You know, I did it in the right season of my career where I was prepared to do it.
And it's something you can say you've done, and so you don't have to do it again.
Yeah, that's always the challenge with performers. You know, we create these really, really special moments that are, in our minds, above the rest of our material. You know, I thought, well, we're filming this big DVD project. It can end up on TV, so let's pull out all the stops. But then once you see it, you see how people respond to it, and they're like, man, that was so amazing. You're going through this constant temptation of, well, maybe I should take it on the road and perform it every night, you know?
Is there a, you know, you talk about deception. Is there a lure to this in deceiving people? Some people, you know, out there seem to enjoy doing it, and you seem to have taken the other track. Do you want to expose it?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of two questions. I think people are lured to it. You know, I think a lot of people who end up in the magic industry are kind of the kids who, when they're younger, they struggle to make friends. You know, I was I wasn't the good-looking, popular kid in my school. I didn't have a ton of friends, and I just wasn't largely popular. And I think magic allows kids at a young age to be able to do something that when they realize that other people can't do it or they don't understand how it works, it's kind of empowering for them. And so I think it does lure people in that way. But, yeah, that's the second part of that question. I do kind of turn that whole thing around and use it to teach people how they're tricked. And it really came down to me being frustrated by being deceived by the world. You know, there came this moment when I was 21 years old where I was traveling the world, I was successful, I was making far more money than any 21-year-old kid needs. Although I guess a 21-year-old isn't always a kid anymore. I certainly was. Just wasn't being responsible with my life and made a series of bad decisions. And when I took a step back and thought, how did I end up in this position? I kind of broke down. It's because I was tricked into making all these different bad choices. And I really wanted to understand how I was tricked into making those choices. And when I finally did, I realized it really is the same process of deceiving someone with a magic trick. You know, it has to do with misdirection and shifting your focus away from things that are important to things that don't matter. It has a lot to do with distraction and being distracted, which has a lot to do with misdirection, like I said. And how we trust our senses. You know, we think that seeing is believing, and that if we hear something with our own ears, it must be true. You know, even in school, if you guys can relate to this, in school, when you're younger, you hear rumors that go around. You're like, well, how do you know that's true? And then you know, often hear a friend say, well, it has to be true. Oh, this isn't a rumor. I heard this one with my own ears, right? And yet, we take in 5,000 messages and advertisements a day, and a good majority of them are selling lies, and just because we see something or hear something doesn't make it true.
Now, your craft is amazing, and is this something that you almost have to have a gift for? I know, like, if you want to paint, sometimes you can go through the mechanics of it, but the really good ones who can paint, there's a little more inside of them. Do you have to have a little more of something special in you to do the magic, to do the big illusions?
Yeah, you know, I think that...
Or is I deceived on that?
No, I think that's really true for almost any entertainer, you know? I think there's something inside entertainers that give them the ability to stand on a stage and engage people. And as far as the actual performing of the magic tricks, I think that's a skill that you can learn. I think it's the presentation of the tricks that is difficult to teach. You know, you can always improve on it, but it's interesting you ask that question. You know, I just, maybe off topic, but I just finished taking this test called StrengthsFinder 2.0. It's a book that's been out for businesses and corporations for the last few years. And I was really fascinated to take that test, and it gives you your top five themes, your top five strengths, and it's interesting to see how those strengths that people naturally have really do determine what kind of comes naturally to you, and then it also helps you determine these are your weaknesses that you can't do. And you can definitely see how there are certain strengths that people are born with that would make them more apt to be a better magician.
Well, stage fright would be the first thing that wouldn't work for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to be comfortable in front of people, and to at least a certain degree.
And comfortable with criticism, too. You know, that's something that no entertainer, I think, ever really prepares for. But once you get to a certain level, there's a round of criticism that comes. People view you sometimes as an authority, or you're on stage, therefore you must be living the successful American dream. And the people have their different reasons for doing so, but they feel the freedom to judge you more than, you know, maybe some of their peers. And so entertainers by their nature like affirmation from their audiences. That's why we like laughter and applause, and that's how audiences express their appreciation to us. That's what gives us the energy to keep going through the show. And so when we hear a negative comment afterwards or some of that negative feedback comes, I think it affects entertainers where a lot of other people are able just to kind of shake off those comments.
I've heard professional comedians say you haven't become a professional until you've bombed.
Yeah, exactly. those are bad nights for us. Those are nights we go back and we don't sleep and we're frustrated for days.
But a lot of times you learn more from your mistakes than you do from your victories.
Always. Yeah, I mean, that's true in real life, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all learn from our mistakes.
Now, you're coming into the area and you're going to be doing presentations to the schools. You find it's important to let the kids know about deception at a younger age so that they're they're not inundated with it throughout the start of their life and get into a pattern?
Yeah. You know, in a way, I think that we all kind of need to become experts at deception in our own lives. And the sooner we can get started on it, the better. That's why I love doing things with students in schools. You know, I think of it like a counterfeit bill. If you work in a bank and someone comes up to the counter to deposit a stack of cash, if you don't know at least the basic insights of how to spot a counterfeit bill, or even if you're a store clerk, you don't have to work in a bank, if you're going to get taken advantage of on a regular basis, right? People might pay with counterfeit. So there's all these different techniques that we go through, that our treasury goes through to protect our currency with the watermarks and serial numbers and all those things. So, well, just in the same way that someone should be able to train to spot one of those counterfeits, I think that students really need to understand how to spot a counterfeit, or in other words, how to see an illusion in the world. You know, they struggle with this because, you know, they're kind of a generation that is desperately looking for authenticity. And even if it's on a subconscious level, I feel like junior high school students, they know that there's a lot of fake around them. They're on Facebook for hours a day, and Facebook is not really an expression of themselves, or at least not the true expression of themselves. It's kind of this illusion that they've created, right? Because we can be anybody that we want on Facebook. We can untag ourselves in pictures that we don't like. We can put only the best things about ourselves on there and get rid of all the negative stuff. And so they're surrounded by tons of illusions and fakes, and they just desperately want to latch on to something that's real. And yet, not many people are offering them anything that's real. You know, if they go home and turn on their TVs and it's quote-unquote reality television, you know, it's very, very fake and staged.
Well, I think the term reality television is the big deception right there.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of an oxymoron, I guess. But, you know, and then they have, along with that, they have a bunch of peers saying, hey, just do this, it'll make you feel good. But just because something feels good doesn't make it a good idea. Just because something looks like a good idea doesn't make it a good idea. Just because something sounds like a good idea doesn't mean it's a good idea. So, you know, it's easy to see how you are sensitive, what you see, smell, taste, touch, and hear. Those things, they really start to get tricked and deceived, and you end up making a choice that's a bad choice, and then you're filled with regret, and you understand, like, man, I wish I would have done that, but why did I? When you break it down, well, they made those choices because someone tricked them into making that choice, because it looked like a good idea at the moment, and so their eyes and ears and their feelings led them astray, and, you know, now they're stuck living this illusion, desperately trying to get out of it, but, you know, they really can't get out of it until they see how that process of deception works. And that's kind of my goal. I feel like there's a lot of adults who are well-meaning in today's world, and they're telling students, like, hey, don't get involved with underage drinking. Don't become an alcoholic. Don't drink and drive. Don't have premarital sex and give or unprotected sex, and don't do this and that. So we have this long list of activities that we want to tell high school students, hey, these things are really, really bad. Don't get involved in this. But we don't really understand. They don't really understand why they shouldn't do those things, or but everything changes when you have a friend that gets killed in a drunk driving accident, right? Now all of a sudden you experience the weight and the consequences of deception, just getting tricked into making a bad choice. So my goal is to try to break that down, help them understand how easy it is to be deceived so they don't get tricked into making bad choices themselves.
There needs to be a balance, though, doesn't there? You don't want people to become cynical and jaded and not believe in anything.
Right.
There has to be a balance in most everything in life, and I imagine this is one of the things as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. And we're all real, you know, human beings, and we have real gifts and real talents and a real story to live out. So, you know, my goal is to come in and just depress everyone by talking about deception, but to give them something that they can work towards, to help them recognize that they can make their dreams a reality if they make positive choices. So with all the freedom that comes to make negative choices, I mean, these kids can also make positive choices that can literally, some of them will change their entire city someday. Some of them have the potential to make choices that can literally change the world. Every single day, people all around the world are making positive choices that impact the rest of the world around them. And this is the reason why these kids can't be one of those people.
Now, what basically are people going to see at your performance? I mean, it's going to be different at the schools. Your performance Wednesday night, as I understand, is going to be the full-blown show, and you're going to be doing a little lighter stuff at the schools, things you can take along with you that don't require the humongous props and pyrotechnics and all that.
Correct. Yeah, you know, a lot of times you're on a gym floor and you got to get in and get out quickly. And
is it difficult to do magic in non-rubber soles in a gym?
Every situation with magic comes with its own set of challenges, you know, because a lot of people think that you can't do a magic trick with someone watching from behind, or if they can watch from behind, people will figure out the secret to the trick, and say you have all those different things to work around. But the shows will be different. The shows at the schools will be very targeted towards specific age groups. You know, when you're performing for a handful of grades, you're able to make your message a little bit more specific. You know, junior high kids and high school kids are in two different seasons of life, which means they're deceived by different things. So the magic tricks that I choose will cater to that specific age group. You know, I have memories of performing for elementary school kids. If I do a trick for a kindergartner or a first grader, I can never do that trick in an evening, full stage production where those teenagers or adults in the room, or they would laugh me off stage, but a first grader thinks it's absolutely hilarious. The evening shows are kind of removed with some of the cheesy stuff that I would sometimes perform for younger kids. But all the material in the evening show will be different and a lot more family friendly and not quite as edgy as something I might do for high school kids.
And I understand your lovely assistant also happens to share your last name, your wife?
She does, yep. We've been married for a little over 7 years now, and, you know, she had worked as an assistant for another magician or two before we got married, and so it's something she was incredibly interested in. And
so you spirited her away.
She wanted to do it as long as she enjoyed it, and here we are 7 years later, and still traveling the world together full time.
Did it take him a while to notice she disappeared? Now, you do this all around the country now, right? I was talking before the show with Don here, and he was saying that he saw you in Port Huron. So you've been to Michigan. You've done this, all over the place.
Yeah, we've done a lot in Michigan. It's been fun. I've performed in 47 of the 50 states and in 18 countries around the world on 5 different continents, and it's been a really fun journey. We come up to Michigan. We actually leave today for the shows in Michigan, but now we make a stop in Chicago for a couple of days, and then I fly to Pennsylvania, and then fly back into Detroit, at which point I'll get back in our truck and drive our gear up to Bad Axe and prepare for those few days of shows up there. So yeah, it's been fun.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in the area, and I know the people who are coming to the show are going to have a good time. I'm going to let you go. We're going to talk with Don and Todd here locally in the studio about the Rotary Club, how they set all this up, and I wish you well and a good trip to the thumb here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I look forward to doing the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's a great time to take something or to go to an event that you can bring your entire family to. So bring the kids, bring the teenagers, bring your grandparents, and I promise that, you know, every single one of them will have a great time. It'll be a good night.
And hopefully they won't be having their jaws dropped so far that we have to worry about flies.
I hope so. Okay. Thank you for your time, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks for coming up.
You bet.
How did this come about? You're getting a world-class talent here to come to Bad Axe to basically help the kids.
Right. This is an hour-long show. You want the long story or the short story?
However you wish to go with it.
All right. Well, when he was here in Port Huron, I thought I was going to be Father of the Year because I heard on the radio station out of Port Huron that he was coming, and I love magicians. I just love them. And he happened to be performing on my youngest daughter's birthday. So I thought, wow, Dad of the Year, take everybody there for this big magic show. So I get the tickets, and I'm all excited. I sit the family down. I tell them, hey, guess what we're doing for your birthday? And everybody's kind of looking at me with kind of a strange look on their face. I'm like, we're going to a magic show. And my daughter said, that's when we're having my birthday party with all my friends, Dad. And I said, but but we're going to a magic show down in Port Huron. I bought the tickets and everything. And, you know, tears start rolling down cheeks and stuff. And so instead of being dad of the year, I was the worst dad of the year, and I took all my other daughters, and I went to the magic show without my youngest, and my wife stayed home with her for the birthday party with the kids. So I felt pretty bad about that. But went down, had a great time, saw a great show. He gave that great message about deception. You know, and I mean, this isn't small time stuff. This is Vegas style magic tricks that this guy does. So he was a great show. So I was talking with some friends who also love magicians, and they said, well, when's this guy coming back? And I said, well, we live at the end of a long road to nowhere here. I really doubt he's coming back this way anytime soon. And so I went to his website to check out his tour schedule, and I was surprised to see that he goes to high school after high school after high school giving this message at assemblies. So I researched it a little bit, and I thought, wow, what a great message to bring into the kids of Huron County. You know, they're at that age where they start making these decisions on their own for the first time, and they're going to affect themselves for the first time and maybe for the rest of their life what the decisions they're making. So I said, this is something I want to do. I want this guy to come back, and I want him to go into our schools. So I pitched the idea to the Bad Axe Rotary Club, which I'm a member of, and they agreed with me that this was a powerful thing, and it'd be wonderful for the community. And so I didn't just leave it at something small and just have him come and do something at the Bad Axe school for the Bad Axe Rotary. I figured if he's coming all this way, we better make it big. So we got with all the school districts in the county and said, hey, we'll give you a free presentation here for your students if you want it. Then we'll also have this magic show too at the Wednesday night. And the school said, hey, this sounds like a great thing, you know, because he's going to talk to them not only about deception but about bullying, which is a big issue in the state of Michigan right now. The state wants the schools educating their kids about bullying. And so with the support of the Rotary Club, we started working really hard, and we started raising some money, and we got this guy coming. It's really exciting. It's unbelievable that we're bringing somebody of this caliber up to this humble little rural area and going to have the kind of presentation we're going to have.
Now, because this is such a major find to bring here, is this how you got the Pigeon Rotary involved as well? Is this something that needed more and more people, more legwork, more resources to pull it off, because you're going all over the county with this?
Absolutely. When Don brought the idea to me through, we have some interaction in my role with Youth for Christ here in the Thumb, and Don shared this idea of bringing this illusionist, and we love the idea of providing that assembly factor for the schools and also the challenge for the students. So I said, well, I'm part of the Pigeon Rotary Club. So Don came over in the spring and made a presentation to our club, and you know, we sat on it for a little while, and then when legs started to really sprout on this project, we were able to go back to the Pigeon Rotary and say, this is going to happen. Will you jump on board and support it? And they were more than happy to join on and offer some support. So in my role as a Pigeon Rotary Club member, you know, I'm going to help represent and work with Don in pulling this off, and then I'll use our ministry team to kind of be the roadies for Harris. So we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun and very, very good for our community.
Is this something a little less than usual for a Rotary Club to do? I mean, you know, you think of a service club, you know, scholarships and helping the community with projects that are going on. Is bringing in a speaker and an illusionist to boot a little bit different or out of the norm from what's been done in the past?
Well, the Bad Axe Club's brought in speakers to the schools before, but I don't think, and forgive me if I'm wrong because I'm relatively new to the club, but I don't think to this scale. To hit 7 school districts in 3 days, I don't think they've done anything of that proportion before. But with some of the corporate sponsorship we've had, that's kind of made this possible. You know, this is a big dollar thing that we're doing here. This is a Nashville-based performer. He's coming a long way. He's very, you know, he's performed internationally. So he doesn't come cheap. And again, we're at that the end of that long road to nowhere. So it even takes a lot to get him up here.
But that just means you have one road to block to keep him here.
Yeah. Well, I bet he'll find a way out. He is an illusionist. He might just slip right past us. So we've had, you know, not only has the Pigeon Club given us some money, they lent us Todd, and he's lending us the staff from YFC, which we couldn't do it without them. And without Todd's help with all this coordinating and organizing, I couldn't have done this. And Thumb Cellular, they gave us a huge amount of money for this project because they believe in giving back to the community that they serve, and they believe in helping out the schools because that's kind of really where it counts. We've also had a donation. The radio station in Port Huron that brought him here, they did promotional posters for us, and they gave us some airtime as well. And Thrivent Financial here in town, they've also donated some money. And the Walmart Foundation gave us some money as well. So we've got a lot of community support that's making this possible. You know, this one man can't do this. Originally had the idea to do this, I thought this was going to be my baby and that I'd run with it and I could handle it all. But I learned my lesson pretty quick that this is a team effort.
Oh, he brings up an entourage, yes. A number of people. They need housing, food, they need transportation, they know where they're going and all this stuff, and you've got to get the people who are going to be doing the grunt work, the lifting and loading, that they're on time, so everything gets done on time so the performances can go on.
Yeah. What seemed simple at one point grew into something incredibly large and complex, and I'm looking forward to the performance, but I'm looking forward to it being over too, so that I can go on a sabbatical. It's not quite a beast because it's such a good thing we're bringing to the county here for the kids that I don't know if I'd call it a beast, but I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking forward to a relaxing weekend for once after this is all over. So,
what age groups at the schools is he going to be targeting? Is it going to be a general assembly for most all the kids, or is it going to be a high school, junior high, or because you think you'd want to catch them early enough so that you know they get clued in on deception, which is the point of his. Speaking, but like he was saying to us on there, he's got magic for the younger kids and he's got magic for the older kids that may not work with a combined audience.
Right. I think his message, and I think he agrees on this, is kind of more useful at the junior high school level, because that's really where they are making their decisions for the first time on their own, and without some guidance at that point.
Might be hard for the younger kids to focus on the message other than the illusions.
Right. You know, while I'm sure he could pull something off in that regards, I think his passion is towards junior high and high school in this respect. And when I saw he was doing these things at the schools on his website, it instantly, of course, made me think of my daughters who are in the middle school and the high school here in Bad Axe. So, my heart was in the same place.
Well, he's got a performance Wednesday night next week from today, basically.
Yep, week from today.
When and where and how can people get tickets? Because that's going to help make this cost-effective and maybe give you the impetus to do more in the future because you can make it fly.
Yes. So. The show is next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. It's going to be at the Bad Axe High School gym. We picked that location so that if need be, we can really pack in a lot of people. We're hoping that we get a lot of people show up for this because it's such a good message and such a good show. Tickets will be available at the door, of course. Tickets are $5 for students, $8 for adults. But if you come in with a family or a group, if you buy four or more tickets, everybody's ticket is $5. So, again, with the generous support from our corporate sponsors, we can keep this high caliber show at a very low family friendly price.
If you went to see him in Vegas, you wouldn't be paying $8.
Right, right. But that's we're trying to change that here. You can also buy tickets in advance, so maybe you're not going to wait in a long line at the show. You can get those at Northgate Pharmacy here in Bad Axe, at the Bad Axe Middle School office, and also at the Youth for Christ office in Pigeon. And Todd, I'll let you give away their information because you can call them, hit their website, that kind of thing. So go ahead.
Yeah,
Todd.
If you would like to contact our YFC office in Pigeon, the number is 453-3239, and you can speak with Janet, and she can go ahead and take your order for tickets, and even if there's time, get those out in the mail for you or hold them at the door. We can have a ticket for sale line and a will call line, and if you have your ticket in advance, you can go and choose your seat in the gymnasium a little bit quicker. You can also go to our website to find out more about Harris and also to link to his website by going to the YFC page, which is Blue Water Thumb YFC, all one word, bluewaterthumbyfc.org, and get all the information that you need to check this illusionist out.
And it's at 7 o'clock next Wednesday. Doors open about 6:30-ish type of thing?
6:30, somewhere in there.
Because you want to get there early because the best seats disappear.
Oh, quickly. We're going to have floor seats and bleacher seats. Bleacher, of course, is going to be intended for kind of an overflow. So if you want to sit in chairs on the floor, get there early. I'm hoping to open the doors as early as I can, and I apologize that I don't know exactly what time that is. I'm 6:30 for sure. I'm hoping a little bit earlier so we can start packing the people in.
Well, terrific. And again, these tickets available, Youth for Christ, you can call. They're at several merchants. I see you've got them at Northgate Pharmacy, the Bad Axe Middle School, and so...
And at the door.
And at the door. Yep. So.
And we're going to give some tickets to the station here where station can give some away.
Terrific.
And we also have a couple items here from Harris. He has a book that he wrote a couple years ago. We got a couple copies of that that the station can give away. And he also has a kind of a how to do magic DVD. We got a couple of those for the station to give away. So within the next week, you can give those away at will. Have people call in and people can get a little bit of a look at what makes him tick, I guess.
Very good. We wish you a good turnout and hope the kids get a good message the first couple of days of next week when Harris is going around to schools. And as I understand it, some schools are actually busing some of their kids into some of the locales so more schools can participate than could just having a morning and afternoon for a couple of days.
Yeah, a couple of our smaller schools, Port Hope, will bus down to Harbor Beach, which makes logistical sense for them. And then Owen Gage will bus over to Bad Axe. And so they'll have an opportunity to see the show. And anybody listening to the program who has a student that isn't in junior high or senior high, this evening program is a great opportunity for an elementary school student, pre-K student, and just for a family to see something and then have something to really talk about and to really evaluate back home. So not only entertainment, but also, as Harris mentioned, we need to evaluate what's facing us in life. And this is just a great illustration to get kids and even families to think about that process.
And it's easier to do that when you aren't being fooled or deceived.
Got that right.
Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
I hope you have a good turnout. Again, they can call Blue Water Thumb Youth for Christ, Northgate Pharmacy, the Bad Axe Middle School. They all have tickets, tickets at the door. They are $5 for students, $8 for adults, and the family pack is $5 a ticket if you got four or more coming in at the door. So Harris III, Master Illusionist, coming up next Wednesday, September 26th, 7 p.m. at the Bad Axe High School Gymnasium. Get there early, you get the best seat. And it's not like Gallagher. You won't need to have some, you know, plastic to keep you from getting slammed with watermelons or something. This is Las Vegas-style magic right here in Bad Axe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guests today on the program have been Don Rogers and Todd Kramer, one from the Bad Axe, the other from the Pigeon Rotary Club. We also were talking with Harris III on the telephone during the course of this show. I do want to remind you, coming up at the top of the hour, 11 o'clock, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.